Blog Talk Radio.
You had
Okay, I think I'm on the air. This Windows 11 is a mother, and I'm going to get rid of it and go back to Windows 10. I hope I am getting through to everyone. All right, we're going to be talking about some basketball if these guys call in, and they probably don't even remember. Half of them asleep half the time. They're old men, of course. So what I'm going to do is, we're supposed to have everything messed up today. I am still trying to get this show on the road using this Windows 11, which I don't want to use anymore. It is the worst I've ever seen. All my daggone apps are all screwed up all over the place. I'm supposed to have, James Jackson and Donald Black on the show today to talk basketball. My grandson was supposed to be here, but he's out getting shrimp. And then I am supposed to have Dr. Rita Ferreira. She's an author and a consultant. Clinical consultant, and she is going to be Dr. Rita Ferreira is an author, and she's a social justice consultant, and she coaches leaders to transform failing social justice initiatives into successes. She's been in the business over 20 years, and she has a lot of experience in this field and has evaluated over $95 million worth of funding, training over 1,000 individuals, and coached 200 or more. In 2017, Dr. Rita's expertise played a key role in the creation of the community police vision and version in Newark, New Jersey, to end police brutality there, which is what was needed in Newark, New Jersey. The collaboration helped there be no police shootings and deaths in the city in 2020. That's unbelievable. Digging up the seeds of white supremacy exposes persistent mechanisms of class and race inequity entrenched in our politics. Dr. Rita holds a PhD in African American Studies from Temple University, has a master's degree in sociology from the University of Rome, and Dr. Fierro is consulting with LLC as increased effectiveness of organizations combating racism and sexism internationally. Now, I hope I can get her on the air because I can't get these other guys. Well, maybe I can get them if I call them. I'll have to call them. I'm sure they forgot. Let's see here. Where are they at? I just heard the phone ring, but I didn't see anybody. What we're going to do is I'm going to play a little bit of Dateline and No Obstruction and No Collusion. This was, this is really funny, but just listen to this until I get back online with the basketball players.
Effective strategy. Matt Miller, do you think that there's just, you think about during the Russia investigation, one of the things that worked for Trump that's kind of akin to what Crowley's talking about here is the notion that Trump would say over and over again, no obstruction, no collusion, and he would get people to say no obstruction, no collusion. He got Bill Barr to say that over and over again, and eventually some people believe that there was no obstruction, no collusion. But now you've got him saying no quid pro quo, no quid pro quo, and Mulvaney comes out and basically just lays out a quid pro quo, even as blatantly as the one that's in the transcript from the phone call. Do you think they're just betting on the notion that Americans will never understand what the Latin means? Because I don't really understand how that's what Mulvaney described today is anything other than a textbook quid pro quo.
It absolutely is. Look, I think Mick Mulvaney was trying to do two things. One, he was trying to get out ahead of some facts before facts got out ahead of them, especially on this question of withholding aid. It's a personal issue for Mulvaney because he was right in the center of that. He was the one the president directed to withhold that aid, and he's the one that carried out that order. So I suspect what he was doing was trying to put that out and then define it in the best terms possible. And that's what they're trying to do with all of this. They have had to move the goalposts as the facts have moved. You know, and the difference with this scandal and some of the others at the White House is there are witnesses who are coming forward and laying out the facts to Congress. So the White House isn't in a position where they can just deny, and stonewall, and keep the truth from coming out, because the truth is coming out even over their objections. So what they're trying to do now is just redefine what is that's acceptable. You saw that for this last piece you played where, you know, saying, well, it's okay to have Rudy Giuliani go do that. The government, you know, so the president can send whoever he wants to conduct foreign policy on behalf of the United States. To some extent, there's a point there, but presidents have directed officials outside government to do things for them. You think of people who've gone to negotiate the releases of hostages in North Korea. The difference, of course, is that what Rudy Giuliani was doing was not acting in the national interest of the United States. He was acting in the personal political interest of the president and then getting others inside the government to do the same thing. And that's the thing they haven't been able to define in a way that should be acceptable to the American people or to Republican senators yet.
I really want to get both Heidi and Jill in real quick before we have to go to break, so I want to get these in real fast. There, you know, we had the Sondland testimony still ongoing. Heidi, up there on Capitol Hill, it strikes me, and I mentioned this when we started the block here, that, you know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, the notion that the Trump administration would enact a policy of stonewalling and hold everybody back, given the history where they have invoked that policy in the past and been successful, seemed like there was a chance that a lot of these people wouldn't come forward because they'd be afraid of retribution from the White House or whatever. And now, you not only have seen most of them come forward, or many of them come forward, but you are seeing them come forward and offer damaging account after damaging account. I just want to quote from Sondland's opening statement today. He says in his statement, all my actions involving Ukraine had the blessing of Secretary Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo sent me a congratulatory note that I was doing great work, and he encouraged me to keep banging away. You know, the Sondland testimony, a couple days ago even, people thought, well, Sondland might try to, you know, protect Trump. Not try to protect Pompeo. What is it you think that's driving this dynamic where the stone wall that has so protected Trump in the past 2.5 years is suddenly crumbling?
I think it is the bravery of the individuals who came in the first place. They saw that they were kind of paving the way for everyone else. And to your point of that dam breaking, now yesterday NBC News confirmed exclusively that Bill Taylor, who is the acting ambassador to Ukraine, also hopped the flight because he is so eager to come here and give his own deposition. This one, I think, is going to be really critical because he's going to be able to not only describe the pressure campaign that was coming from the White House, but the understanding from the Ukrainians and the panic that ensued in Ukraine when it became clear that the quid not only was this White House meeting, but that then in September, military aid was being withheld. So Bill Taylor will be able to provide a unique perspective that some of these other witnesses up until now have not provided, which is the Ukrainian understanding of the quid pro quo.
Right. So Jill,
well, I found out we have a problem with the phone lines, and the basketball play will be on in an hour. Now, we have, I'm going to see if we can get Dr. Vieira on the show. I just heard from her consultant, and we're going to get them on the show ASAP, I hope. Did everybody see the State of the Union last night? I thought it was fabulous. The president did a smackdown, drag-out blip of a State of the Union. And I'm sure these guys on the other side of the aisle were in bad, bad shape. They didn't even realize what the hell was going on. They didn't realize what he was saying. They didn't even realize what he was going to do. When he came out, he didn't, did you notice one thing that was very funny? Normally, the Speaker of the House introduces the president. But as soon as he gave them the Vice President and the Speaker of the House a copy of his speech, he went on and started talking. He was so anxious to get through slapping these people down, he didn't even wait for an introduction. He's the president. What does he got to wait for an introduction for? Anyway, he did a fabulous job. He spoke to every single point that needed to be spoken to. And he didn't speak it in the order that they thought he was going to speak these problems. They didn't think he was going to have the ability. All week and all month, they were talking about this man is two steps off the death pedestal. They thought he would be finished. And he came out and knocked the ball out of the ballpark. As a matter of fact, wherever he's taken, I want to get some too. He was there. The lights were turning off. They told me you have to get out. You can stay here in the dark, but we're leaving. Maintenance crew told him. So everybody that was there talking to him like it was his living room. They said, you guys got to leave. We don't care where you go. Go home. But if you don't go home, that's all right. We don't need to know. But you got to get out of here. And he left talking out the door with people following behind him, talking behind him. It was over 33 minutes. Now, normally, the speaker and the vice president are the last ones to leave. He was the last one to leave with his gang of people trailing behind him, talking to him, rattling off, well, Mr. President this, Mr. President that. And he was nowhere near his time. It was after midnight. So it was a real humdinger. The president spoke to the problem of the border, which they didn't think he was going to speak to. And when he brought it up, he brought up the fact that, let's see who we got. We got somebody calling in right now. Hello?
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Diane. Well,
hi, how are you?
You got in?
Yes.
Okay. 605, not 695.
Yeah, well, that's what your assistant gave me.
What?
No, Blake gave me that number.
Blake gave you that number?
God. Yes.
Where is he? He's out getting shrimped.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
As soon as he gets back in, I'm going to strangle him.
Oh, okay. That would be good. Just a little, though, not a lot.
Well, depends. So tell us a little bit, well, I was explaining to the people about the State of the Union last night. What did you think of it?
I thought he was succinct. I thought he was energized. He was everything they didn't want him to be. He gave us a short summary, of course, like most presidents in the State of the Union address. They give you a short summary of their accomplishments. I like the fact that...
Trump didn't do that when he was in.
Well, that's a different animal altogether.
Because he did,
you know.
He did. He gave one accomplishment that he gave a put us in the whole $6 trillion.
Yeah, well, see, so this person laid out, regardless to what party you are, if you're an American, then you need to know what the state of your union is. And I believe that he gave us that in spades. I believe he was ready for the hecklers. I like the ease in which he dealt with them. And they shouldn't even have tried to come up against him because he's been in the Senate longer than most of them have been born. So, you know, it's like a no-brainer.
That's true. Well, no, maybe not the senators. Maybe some of those
Yeah, maybe not Lindsey Graham and all of that.
No,
yeah.
Not
but yeah. But certainly as the commander in chief of this country, he did his job. And what I liked was, excuse me, I got a little cold. What I liked was that he was the last man to leave the building.
I mean,
he was the last man
said,
to leave.
Look, we don't care where you go, but you gotta get out of here. And we're closing up.
Yeah.
Turning out the lights.
He had a right. He had a good time. He had a good time. He saw people he hadn't seen in a while. That is
that's
his
right.
venue. That's where he's best. That's why he was a senator for so many years. They didn't want him to leave. He could talk anybody into anything. He was the ultimate negotiator. And that's why Obama chose him, one of the reasons he chose
Absolutely.
Him for his life. So he gave me, as an American citizen, exactly what I want, regardless of my party affiliation. I got what I needed from my president.
Absolutely. And he talked about, he didn't bring up the thing about the border until 33 minutes. But he talked about the border, what he was going to do. And they were not expecting him to bring it up. And they shouldn't have brought it up because he whacked them with it.
Yeah, well, you
I
know,
mean,
the border.
He said that hold on just a minute. Let's see who is this. Oh, this is. That's open. Oh, no, it's not open. Okay. Mr. Blake, I'm going to get on him, too. He's just coming back with a load of goodies. You gave Diane the wrong phone number yesterday.
I did?
Yes, you did. You're trying to get in here for 15 minutes.
Dr. Rita's still trying to get in.
And Rita's still trying to get in.
Yeah, I just gave her the right number, the 605.
Okay.
I'm sorry she can't get in. She says she's going to try another 10 minutes and then she's done.
Oh, what's the reason why she can't get in?
She says it's not letting her in. She goes to WhatsApp, and the WhatsApp is, I guess it's not letting her in. She didn't say. But I gave her the right number.
Okay.
Yeah, I gave her the right number. So, anyway.
I don't know why. I use it to call my friend over and I get him all the time.
Yeah. So she said, can't dial in. That's what she's saying. She can't dial in. And I'm going to ask her the new number.
But has she got the app?
I'm asking now.
If she got dialed through the app, you got to use the app and dial the number.
Use WhatsApp first, right?
WhatsApp, yeah, use WhatsApp. And when you get in WhatsApp, you got to store that on your phone. And then you use that app like you use any other app. So they ask you the phone number.
Well, I just told her the new number. I said the new number didn't help, ? So, you know, I don't know.
Well, how
I
do you speak?
To you?
You speak to just on the computer.
Yeah, we Zoom. We Zoom.
Lee Zoom?
I
oh,
said
you Zoom.
We Zoom, yeah.
Oh, you Zoom, okay. Well, she can Zoom. She wants to Zoom me. I'll still have a voice. But anyway, see if she can. That app really works. I don't understand why. I call my cousin in Canada every day.
Well, you know, what can I say? She's calling from Italy, so I don't know.
I know, but. My friend is over in, where is he at with that? not hungry. He's in, geez, how do I forget where he's from?
Do you dial a 1 first or just 515?
You dial a 1 first. So I dial a 1 first and the number.
You do dial a 1 first?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
no. Yeah. 515-605-9765. But you gotta dial 1.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sending it to her again. So okay. You talked about the border. You talked about the border.
Yeah, he talked about the border. They weren't expecting that.
Right, but at the same time, there is no conclusion or remedy, because since I've been voting, no president has ever given me, as a voter, a good reason why the border is such a problem. Now, economically, I understand it, because they would like people to come in and work cheaper. And I think that's, you know, my dad taught me, he says, when you can't figure it out, follow the money. And so I'm following the money. And remember in the beginning during Bush, the second Bush, his term, they were talking about all these people who were hiring all these people from South America to be their nannies.
Right.
And house. Yeah, you know, come on.
Is this
it's
true?
Cheaper. Yeah, and those people are so scared because they're not citizens of this country, and so they do whatever they're told. It's
okay,
it's
but
egregious.
Why are they now coming?
Why are they
in
now
the numbers,
coming?
And why are they now coming in the masses that they have not been doing over the years?
Well, to be honest, the genealogists and people that studied the trends say that our population of Americans is dwindling. So they're saying that whoever is 25 now, we don't have enough people under 25 to do the work and to facilitate the mechanisms of the country. And so these people are needed, not because the old adage about, oh, it's because we won't work for those kinds of dollars. Well, you know, they would up the dollars. It's not that we won't work. Americans are the workingest people I know. I mean, you know, they just are. They just are. They're industrious and they work. And so to say that these jobs are menial, then pay me a salary. Pay me $9 to pick your oranges. Pay me at least.
I wonder what they're getting paid.
Oh, it's not a lot. And then you have migrants who go, you know, from one crop to the next. I know that from being in North Carolina and now here in Florida. Yeah, and now here in Florida. And I see they get away with that. It's an economic hush. They don't want anybody to know about it. And that's the reason. These presidents, I mean, where do I go back to? Which president do I go back to? When I first voted, I was so excited. Who's the guy that was after Ford? Yeah, Ford.
After Ford.
Yeah.
After Carter.
So it's the peanut guy. So, you know, come on. Nobody has been able, I don't care what party affiliation they are, nobody has been able to harness and be honest about the border. What's real funny is George Bush, the second one, he almost gave it away because he, you know, he was opening up all kinds of things and he was giving it away. He's the one that led a lot of people in this country who were not, you know, nationalized citizens. So my problem is there are people online who are doing it correctly and coming through the country in the way in which our archaic laws are allowing. And I don't see why those same people can't do that.
Yeah, but now they're coming in millions. They're coming by the millions now.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
we're told. There's discrimination with that. The Haitians get sent back, and the people that are not black, they get to, you know, stay and whatever. You know, they talk about the conditions, but nobody's talking about the people that they send back.
Yeah, but why are these people coming here risking, I mean, they're going thousands of miles, some of them, to get here.
Well, you know what? My grandmother came over from Nevis, St. Kitts. She went through Ellis Island. We have her paperwork and everything. We're very proud of her. Had she not done that, she wouldn't have met my grandfather, and I wouldn't be talking on this phone. So there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. And if we, with all the brilliant minds that we have in this country, can't figure out a successful, fair border system, it's because we don't want to. And I'm not saying that this president doesn't want to. I'm just saying that when your hands are tied, when other things are involved in it and when money is involved. So why are they coming here? They claim that, you know, they're not running from democracy. So when they come here, they don't want democracy. You know, they're not running from that. They're running here to do better. I want a better life for my children. Everybody wants a better life for their children. And this is the only place they feel they can get it. Also, this country will let in who they want. They will. So, you know, I've watched it. I'm down in Houston, and you see those things, and you say, this is not the way this should be. This is not the way it should be. There's a better way. Better minds and fairer minds. Yeah. Fairer minds have to be in place. And there's probably a lot we don't know. There's a lot that doesn't get disseminated down to the American people, so we're confused. Why are these people? And of course, it's a wonderful target for whoever's in office. Look at the border, you know. Look at the border, and they broke down my wall, or else that would have helped. That's what he said.
The thing that gets me is that we have a system here that lets people in the country, but why does it take, well, supposedly the new law that Senator Lankford wanted to pass, the Republican Donald Trump told him not to pass it, was going to give 1,000 more guards and 2,000 more judges so they could have a fair...
So they can expedite that, yeah.
Yeah,
it would
expedite it. So, but the thing is that what's going to take all these millions of people to get through here with 6 years could take them 6 weeks.
It takes too long. I had a physical therapist that used to come. He had a green card or whatever he had. Came to me at a festival. He says, "Miss Diane, I am a citizen now." It took him 6 years. And he did it the right way. Well, some people don't have that kind of time, you know.
Well, they got that kind of time if they're trying to get in here, but they're not told that it will take them 6 years. They're told they'll get in right away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because the cartels, as they depicted on that show last week, the cartels are running these people.
Yes.
They're literally running these people here, and they're doing whatever they have to do to get here. So the cartels are in charge of our border. Now, nobody has talked about my thing. I said, well, wait a minute. Why are we fighting here? Why don't we go to Mexico? But, you know, that would be an invasion of a country, of a sovereign country. But come on, if they're invading you, then you have to invade them. It's got to stop somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't have the answer to that, though.
Well, I think I'm trying to remember. The president used terminology that we need to. I'm trying to remember. It was so unbelievable, and I saw that he used the same quote in 2022. So it just so happened I was going over the show, and it was on September 2nd, 2022. And he says that you can't love your country only when you win. He said that last night. You still there?
Yes, he did.
Oh,
he did.
Yeah. He used that same quote last night that he used in 2022. You can't love your country only when you win. And that's what Trump wants us to understand. You don't have to love your country if you're not winning. And that's his deal.
Well, you know, come on. Talk about love of country. Love of country is like love of self. You know, you've got to work at this. And so, if you can only love your country when things are in your favor, everything has to be placed in your favor, that's
right.
Insanity. That's neurotic.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. It's just outrageous that we can even think anything like that.
It's true.
It's just incredible that we even think anything like that. But some of these people do. Most of them are in the Republican Party because they were told to do that way by Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, he's not going to give us any reasoning behind. You know, he hasn't said any policy yet because the only thing he wants to do is get in, and he will do whatever he needs to do at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what needs to be done. It's only what he wants to do at the time. And if he doesn't want anybody that doesn't push him, he won't do nothing.
That's true. That is true.
So this is a major problem we're going to have. And it will be the end of democracy if he gets in.
Mm-hmm.
It will be the end of democracy, and I truly believe that.
Yeah. Well, he's not married to the concept. I mean, you know, he's not married to his wife, much less the concept.
Well, that's true too. but he, as long as he, and I understand he just got his first $91 million to the young lady in New York with all the taxes and everything. So he had to get it was some sort of company, I can't remember what company it was, that arranged that money for him. They just arranged the money for him so he could get because he had to have it by Monday. So now we'll see but that 91 million is not half a billion, which is what he needs to pay in about 15 days.
Yeah, okay.
By the end of the month.
Well,
and if he doesn't, the Attorney General said she will seize his assets.
Okay. Well, I believe her. That's the one in New York?
Yes. James.
Yeah.
He said, you will get his assets.
Uh-huh. See, well, it's the law. How about that?
It's the law. Right. Why should he get any different break? Don't tell me because he was the president. That's complete nonsense. That's nowhere in the Constitution that he gets a break.
It's a lot of things that aren't in the Constitution. Well, they're not specifically stated. If you can tell me the intent of the founding writers of the Constitution, that's amazing that you could think like them and know what they intended. Yeah. You know? And we don't have a Supreme Court worth a damn, so
no.
You know.
And the Supreme Court, the six that were there, well, there was one, two, three, out of the six, was it a six? There was six there. Six there. And I'm sure when the president told them, oh, we got somebody else on the phone here. Let's see who this is here. I don't know who this is. Let me ask this, Blake. Hold on. Hello, who's this?
This is Blake.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Good. All right. We were talking about Miss Diane was talking about your messing up the phone number.
No, he didn't. What he did was he gave me 695 instead of 605. We straightened it out, Blake. It's all right.
Yeah, well, that's your first, Blake.
that's number
your
one.
First.
Okay.
But anyway, as I was saying, that yeah, he told the Supreme Court judges, you think you have something now? Wait to the women who don't like this law get on their heels. That's right. And everybody's like, nobody talks to the Supreme Court like that. Well, they'll have to talk to them like that. Because these people have no intent of following what's a tradition.
Mm.
Now, they have, we're going to see what's going to happen because
Hey, Mike.
What?
Mike?
Yeah, I'm here, Diane.
We got Eric Green from New York on the line.
Eric Green. Okay.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, sir?
Fine. And what can I do for you?
I told him we were talking about last night's State of the Union. He hopped on.
Oh, is that right? Because I didn't see. He must be on your line because he's not on my line.
Yeah, he's on mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Yeah. Me and my sister always talk about this kind of stuff, the political scene and other things as well. But that I was very, very impressed. And sometimes I get mad at Biden because I think he should put more pressure and not be as nice as he is. And he just can't help it because he has that kind of personality. He's a great man. But, you know, sometimes I feel like he needs to treat them the way they treat him. But he showed me something last night. He put it all together and he threw it at them just the way they throw it at him.
That's right.
And I loved it. I loved it. I think it was great. Can't say no more about it.
Well, what did you see the whole thing?
The whole thing.
They had to call the janitors to throw him out. He was there too late.
Huh?
They had to get the janitors to kick him out.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it from the time he first walked in, all the way to the end.
They had to get the janitors to throw him out.
Yes, I don't know
who that lady was who had the nerve to wear a ball cap.
Oh well, that's Green from the Republican.
No, that was Marjorie Green. That was Marjorie.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? She wore a ball cap with advertising on it.
It was the wrong advertiser. It was 2020, and this is 2024. What is she still wearing that for?
Wow.
That's what a dope she is.
Because she still believes that he won 2020. Don't you get it?
She's still well in my head like other people did. But 2020 still isn't 2024. That's passé. Nothing you can do about that. I mean, that's dumb.
It's been done. I mean, Biden has been running the country for 3.5 years.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they can say it all they want, but he's been making the decisions for 3.5 years.
Yeah,
it's right. Over. Now, we're getting ready to have a new election.
I don't understand it. But what did you think about his quip that he made to the Supreme Court?
The comments he made about the Supreme Court?
Right.
I think he should have bashed them even more. I cannot believe that they are even considering looking at him being immune from prosecution. And like one of the commentators said, they have shown us that they are on his side and going to do everything they can to help him win. And that's crazy.
Well,
the Supreme Court.
I tell you what, I don't think they are. I think they're going to just let that go as far as it can, and then they're going to turn it back down to the appellate court. They're not going to decide.
But then that would be great if they did that. But when? Because time is passing by.
Right,
and that's
absolutely.
What Trump does.
That will be their last term is just the 25th of April.
Why did they even have to pick a subject like that? Why did they even pick it up? It just doesn't make sense. Nobody should be immune. The Pope should be immune.
They wanted to say that we'll have the last word on this.
Okay. I'll go for that when I see it.
The thing is that, when Biden and Gore had their row, they came up with that decision in 4 days.
Yeah.
What did Biden say exactly when he looked at the Supreme Court judges sitting there so that I can try to know I got it? What did he say to them?
He said,
the first thing he said was, no disrespect.
No disrespect. No disrespect. That's the first thing he said. And then he said, to the equivalent that women, there's more women voting in this country than anywhere, and you ain't heard the last of their political expertise.
Their political might, yes. That's what he said.
Wait, what did he say? He said the N-word.
No. He said
no.
That they hadn't heard the last of what women are going to say.
Oh.
They have never heard the last of what women are going to say. He was talking about the IVF and the and what the Supreme Court did with Roe v. Wade.
Roe and Wade and the IVF, yes. And that they had not heard the last that women were going to say about it.
That's correct.
Right. When the election comes around.
That's right. Well, when it first came down, with the Roe v. Wade, here's the problem that without the second Bush, they have not won a federal election in eight terms. That's 4 years. So
they haven't won. And Trump has led them down that yellow brick road, and they still can't figure it out that something is attached to us that's taking away our ability to win an election in anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They keep losing. And guess what?
They haven't figured out why.
And here they go again, following down the yellow brick road with that man, like as if They're gonna lose everything again. I truly believe that we will take over the House and the Senate.
Well,
there's no doubt.
I sure hope we take over the Senate, because that will give us the judges, and if there's any judges that's gonna disappear or retire, and I think the judge that likes to go on the cruises. It's almost time for him to go.
Yeah, he
didn't even come last night.
No.
Which one?
Well, the only six
there were six
came
of them there.
Didn't.
Yeah, right. Three didn't come. So Thomas wouldn't show. He wouldn't come.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because there were six of them there. So three of them didn't come.
He didn't want to come there because of the Roe v. Wade and what he said about IVF. Him and Ron Nuckberg. What's the other guy?
Who's the head of the Supreme Court?
Well, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first one in. He's normally always going to be there. But Thomas
and I was surprised that Mike Johnson kept nodding yes to a lot of what.
Well, he was told by Trump that he can't. He can't stand up. But he didn't say he couldn't nod his head.
Oh, that's right. He was told not to stand up. But he kept nodding yes.
Yeah. Right.
You think Kamala stood up and spoke to him? What's wrong with you? The president is speaking. They have no respect. And she looked at him like, what is going on? He would not stand up.
Even when you stand up for things that they wanted.
Right.
He didn't stand for that, for things that they wanted. That's always good for them. He didn't stand up.
Yep. They have to go down. It's so imperative.
Well, this is.
And
the problem
is on the line.
Well, yeah, because we need democracy needs these two branches of government. And we don't have two branches of government now. We got one and a bunch of thugs.
A bunch of thugs.
Don't care about nobody but themselves.
That's right.
These thugs don't even care about their own people that are following them down the yellow brick road.
No.
Remember what the president said? He says, you know, you guys, I'm passing all this stuff, and your cities and counties are getting all this money. He said, but you all are agreeing, saying that it was great. But now you're saying
that's why it confuses me. It confuses me when we have situations like when all those kids got killed, the 21 children got killed in that school.
Yeah.
And there was an election.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in that city voted for the man that did not want change. I forgot who it was now. There was the guy that was running for change with the NRA and
he's in trouble now. Anyway,
who's that?
Yeah, the president is in trouble now.
Yeah.
Anyway, because he was stealing from the NRA and he didn't pay taxes, so it two things wrong with him.
Yeah. That guy. But there was a gentleman that was running. Was it for governor?
To fight with the people.
To get guns out of the schools. And I don't understand why the people of that city did not vote him in.
Mm-hmm.
They voted against him and voted the same guy back in. I don't know if it was Abbott or not, but whoever it was, they voted the guy back in.
Oh, you're talking about down in Texas?
Yes.
Yeah.
You mean Cruz? Not Cruz.
Yeah.
No, the governor.
Cruz.
Yeah, they voted him back in. This other guy was campaigning for the people, for the children.
That's right.
And I knew in my heart that for sure the constituents, the mothers and the fathers would vote him in and vote Cruz out, and they didn't.
Beto O'Rourke.
That's right. And he was an excellent candidate.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent.
Already,
how could they not vote him in?
The guy running now, Colin Allred, is going to beat Cruz this time.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. We've got a couple of places that the Democrats are going to whoop them.
Well, they need to, because forget the president, because Trump is not getting in. But we need the Senate and the House to put make this final crushing defeat, so we can get rid of as many people as possible, because they'll still be around, these vermin, as they call them.
Was it 2 years ago that we beat all of them and they all lost?
Yep.
2022?
2022. He's down in Texas.
They all lost. All of them lost.
All the vermin.
To the Democrats.
Yep.
And so we really need it. If we're going to go anywhere. So people need not to be so stupid and they got to understand That's the only way we're going to get those people out of power, the people that gerrymander, the people that vote on certain bills against them. It's like, why would you vote someone in that cares nothing about you?
You.
Well,
it's amazing.
People don't know any better. You would figure they do know better, but they really don't know any better. They really don't know any better.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an excuse that they don't know any better, but they're human beings, and most of them have some kudos. I mean, they're not in junior high school. They got, you know, they know a little something.
Yeah.
They know if somebody's not for them at all.
Mm-hmm.
They know if somebody that's running is running to save their children, and the other person that's running could care less that their child was one of the children that was killed in the school beyond recognition. So how could you not vote for the one that's trying to help you?
That's right.
And voted, and they did it. They did it.
Yeah.
They voted Cruz right back in.
Well, Cruz, Buttigieg needed to win his election, but he didn't. And I asked Kevin, because, you know, they're down there in Dallas, so what happened? People just didn't, and he spoke fluent Spanish. People didn't resonate with him. It's a personality contest now, you know, it really is. Now, Greg Abbott, he's the governor. He needs to go. I heard that he might get picked as Trump's running mate. But Lee said to me, there's no way he's going to do that with a disabled person. He hates
no way. That's right. Absolutely. Never.
Who doesn't like disabled people?
Trump. He hates
them. Oh, and Abbott disabled?
Yeah, Abbott's in a wheelchair.
He's in a wheelchair.
What?
Yeah.
Well, Abbott, I have never, that man sent texts.
Mm.
He sent tank besides the barbed wire, to catch people coming across and strangle them to death.
Mm-hmm.
He now has, and then the airplanes packing them with people. He has literally sent
where
to the borders.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
he did.
There must be National Guard tanks because all the president has to do is swear them in, and there'll be federal troops, and he tell them where to go.
As long as he's
sending the National Guard, that's fine. He can't send any federal troops.
But he can send the National Guard.
Yeah. All the president has to do is put them under orders, and they automatically become federal. And then they... If the president tells him, look, I don't want you there, I want you over here, that'll be that.
Yeah, well.
Oh, the president. Not the president. Trump said that.
Is acting like he's the president.
Yeah,
even now.
And they call him that. They call him
from President Trump,
But. He, as you know, he said that if any of those countries get in trouble, that he's going to tell Putin, get them. Go get them.
And people in this country is all right with that. They need to be whipped.
Yep.
Just like they whipped those Haitians down there when they were trying to come over here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. They whipped those Haitians. It looked like a scene out of an old slave movie. It did. We're terrible. Come on. So what Trump didn't want was for Biden to get border, any type of border deal, because he wanted to be the big savior.
That's right.
But, like savior of what? Because he said, one of the things about him is we laughed at him the first time. You can't laugh this time. You have to listen to what he says and believe him. He has an insane integrity about him. He said the first day he's going to be a dictator.
Just for one day.
Well,
he's going to get rid of everything.
Everybody that he said didn't like him and voted against him.
Well, you can say
DOJ,
that.
The DOJ,
if he don't control both houses, that ain't going to happen.
Well, yeah, that's why we have to go out there and get out the vote. Absolutely. That's the most important thing right now is getting out the vote. We know who the players are. We have to get out the vote. There are more Democrats in this nation than there are any other party, even the sub-parties. And so if we and we have more registered people who are able to be registered and to vote. So, there's no reason except apathy, and there's lots of voter apathy because people are sick of it. And then you have people who, I say, come from countries where they didn't have democracy, and so they're not attached to it. So civics needs to be part of the indoctrination when people come in this country.
Right.
They've got
Absolutely.
To feel it. They got to know. They've got to put some stuff in place so that people get it.
Yeah, it's rough. These governors.
Yeah.
I think just like in 2022, all those governors are going to lose.
The guy that's running for governor in North Carolina, he's going to lose for real.
He's a nut.
Yeah. What is going on
there? He is a total nut. I don't understand him.
I don't even remember him getting in.
He snuck in, huh?
He must have.
I don't remember
him at all.
Yeah, well, he went over to the Republican Party. And they wanted a black face, so they
No, don't. He's always been a Republican. Mm-hmm. He's always been a Republican.
Yeah, he has.
He's off the chain.
Yep. He said that the Republicans are the ones that took us out of slavery. He said that there was no Holocaust. That was all a game.
It was a game to get Israel started in 1948, yeah. A lot of people feel that way.
He said that Martin Luther King was a communist.
Yeah, of course he said that. J. Edgar Hoover didn't even say that. I mean, he called him names, but he didn't, If you read the FBI files, there was no affirmation of that. He wasn't a communist. What was going on is during the Harlem Renaissance, African-American people were moving, migrating all over the country, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people leaving the South because of the Jim Crow laws. And so those people, the Communist Party saw an end where people were being disenfranchised. And so they said, hey, we're all about the people. That was the Communist Party. That happened to Angela Davis, some of the other Black Panthers, and people who said, I'm going with them because they're saying equality all across the board.
Oh, yeah. What did he say about the Black Panther movie? He said something outrageous.
What?
About the Black Panther movie. It was. It was made by
somebody.
Huh?
Yeah, well, you know, to put it nicely, it was made by N-words and Jews.
Yes.
How does he think he's going to get elected? I don't know.
You got to remember that none of this stuff was ever said out loud before Donald J. Trump came on the line.
Yeah, that's true.
He gave the fire air.
Of course.
Yep.
Of course. Oh, you could say that and do that? Oh, there's no decorum? They should have thrown her out and Santos should have been thrown out. How dare him desecrate.
The problem is, though, that this stuff has been said already, and you know there's some moron out there just like them who's going to be smarter than them and better than them, who's going to come up with a similar scheme later on down the line.
Oh, well, we know how to deal with them now. You got to
well,
come off
the thing is that they're going to know how to deal with them. That's them who's here now. But the ones down the line are going to be a lot smarter and a lot slicker.
Yeah, well, facts don't matter. Like Biden said last night, what? That's a fact. Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know why y'all are booing. That's a fact.
Yeah.
He said, look at the facts. I was very.
You guys learn how to read.
Oh, yeah. He said, I know you know how to read.
Yeah.
Oh, he got into them. Yeah, he did. Come on. He's not someone in an ivory tower. Joe gets down. He gets down. You know, he can speak any type of language in any community. I've watched them in the African American community.
Yeah.
You know, he's a regular guy and he got it and that's the way he is and that's the way he's gonna be. But he can handle business. So the first thing he had to do was meet with all those chemists and scientists and doctors because he had to get COVID under wrap. That's the first thing he did. Matter of fact, before he was even elected, he started that process because he said it has to get under control. And we were the only country in the world that had that type of seamless, not a whole lot of, I mean, between him and Cuomo, man, we were made in the shade.
A group of people that are so out in the wilderness, they'll never come back.
Oh, wow.
They'll never come back.
Because they can't.
Okay. Okay. Well, don't come back then. What we can't allow them to do, because this country wants to make money off of people and their labor, we can't allow these people that are coming from these other countries to adapt the same mindset. That's where democracy comes in, or else we will be screwed.
And that's the only way.
Yeah.
These people are just so far off the deep end. They're just too far off the deep end.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the things that they want to believe are not that all hard to believe.
That's right. It's easy. It's easy.
Well, what are you going to to do with the well, what you heard last night from the president.
What are we going to do? What am I going? What are we going to do with what?
What you heard from the president last night. What can you take and give to other people about what you heard?
Well, what I can give to them is that if they're nervous, they need to be.
If what?
If they are nervous, they need to be nervous. Only because money can make a lot happen. And these guys are playing around with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people, no matter what color they are, that money will make them switch out. Sure will.
That's true.
And being sympathetic and empathetic and all those wonderful words don't mean nothing when it comes down to it, because people nowadays can be bought off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at who he met last night. Last night was the State of the Union address. This fool is meeting with Viktor Orban from Hungary. He is an autocrat. He has an autocracy. He is a leader of the country that he's got his foot in their neck.
And
he's embracing these people as though, don't worry about it, I'm going to be president. I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when Marjorie Taylor Greene ran out to the president last night and told and wanted to get his attention, mm-hmm. wearing that hat, she was completely, she couldn't keep a straight face. She was laughing so hard.
Well, he laughed at her like she was a clown.
Yeah, he laughed at her too. Right, absolutely.
Yeah, he looked like, whoa, okay. He didn't pay her no mind.
And then he gave it back to her when she brought up, when she screamed out about the young lady that was killed.
Yeah, killed by a Venezuelan.
Tyler Kelly or something?
I don't know. I forget her last name. But, I mean, how horrible and devastating is that? And that's like Willie Horton. All you need is one.
Yeah.
All you need is one Venezuelan to kill an American girl, and if you put white on top of that, then, you run with that. So I'm sure that that's not the first time, to be honest, and I'm sure it won't be the last.
No, it won't.
As we let people in this country. In North Carolina, I mean, I hear some of the news down there, up there, and you guys are having gang wars in the suburbs. But it's the Hispanic gangs.
And, you know, he went after DJT without even mentioning his name.
Mm.
He said, my opponent or the previous man that had this.
Yeah, that's
president.
What he said. My opponent.
Never
that's
mentioned
right.
his name.
No, he said, no, this is what he called. That's what he
right.
That's what he called it.
Right.
Right.
He kept and using that word.
That's
yep.
the word he did. He refused to call his name.
That's good. That's
mm-hmm.
very good.
He thought, I don't
I don't know what they thought he was going to do, but like I said, he was the last man standing in that room. Like you said,
last man standing in the room. That's right, last night.
I assume they thought that he was going to run out of breath.
Yeah.
Or that he was going to start choking, and they were going to need to walk him out of the room, or whatever.
He wouldn't put himself through that if he didn't think that he could do it. But you see, you were afraid for him because of that, and all that is the stupid media that got him in office anyway. The media is one-third responsible for all of this.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
every little thing he does is funny. And, oh, he did this. And blah, blah, blah. They enable, because it's salacious news. And Michael, you know, we used to talk about the 24-hour news cycle. It destroyed us.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, he tripped and he fell over a bag and and all that kind of stuff. Just
right.
Like everybody else. Just like it can happen to anybody else.
Remember when Trump was going down an incline. He had to have the colonel help him down. That was 2 years ago, I think, because he might have fallen down going down an incline after making a speech. I mean, he wasn't going up.
Well,
he was going down the incline.
Yeah. Well, he discounted that age thing completely.
Yeah.
It's
he knocked that out of the water. They ain't going to even talk about that no more.
No. Heck now
no.
What the first thing I heard was, oh, he was so mean and so partisan, and I was appalled. So, yeah, because he was alive and willing to go 10 rounds with you. They didn't expect that. They did not expect that.
Yep.
And neither did a lot of people. Eric, you said you were afraid for him when he came in there.
Yes.
That man stood longer than I could stand.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And then
yes,
after
he
stood some more and hung out with his friends.
I mean, he was so bold.
Yeah.
With what he had to say. He knew exactly what he wanted to say, who he wanted to say it to.
Uh-huh.
He was bold with it.
And he was waiting for the catcall.
He looked in people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care how they felt. No empathy, no sympathy.
Because this is serious stuff.
This is serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to know, make sure that he was telling us, as he said a couple of times, this is serious.
That's right.
Well, you know, it's serious about that, about Green wearing that daggone outfit with the hat that is breaking house rules. Because they control the house now, so they figure they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And the House of Representatives Committee on Ethics forbids using official resources for campaign purposes, which includes house billing and house rules and offices as official resources. But you see, I guess they would say, well, it's 2020. It's not really a thing anymore. But everybody knew what they stood for.
So they mentioned that Where's the sergeant-at-arms? Where's the sergeant-at-arms?
Right. He should
go over there and tell her to take the hat off. Well, you know, it's too late for that.
Yeah.
She had a jacket on. It was a jacket, too, that she had.
Oh, yes. I'm sure if they were around and if somebody had told them in time, they would have gone over to her and ordered her out.
She was one of the first ones there. I'm sure they had plenty of time.
Well, yeah, but nobody paid attention to it, the hat and the jacket.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said anything besides the commentator on MSNBC. She was very angry.
Oh, I'm sure.
On MSNBC. She was like, how dare she?
She said, I ain't supposed to wear the hat on the floor, a house floor, but I'll pay the fine.
Oh, that's what Marjorie said?
Yep.
Oh, so she acknowledged that she shouldn't have.
She knew it when she went in.
I mean, so you're saying she acknowledged it and said, but I'll pay the fine.
Right.
Oh.
But you know what? There was a heckler, and Secret Service came in there, went around his waist to make sure he didn't have a firearm and got him out of there. Did you see that?
No.
He did what now?
Yeah, there was a heckler. The very last top seat. Heavy set guy. And he was yelling out something. And
oh, that was,
really,
yeah, that was in the, in the rafters. Yeah, in the top. Yeah. Yep.
They came, surrounded him. The guy put his hands around his waist under his jacket. And then they escorted us out of there. Yes, they did.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Hmm. That's good to know.
I love the fact that, okay, so what was my golden moment was him talking about January 6th. I thought that was wonderful. That he acknowledged the distastefulness of our country being seen like that. He did acknowledge it, and he talked about it. I was so glad he did.
He didn't miss anything. I'm trying to think of what topic did he miss.
He didn't.
Now, I don't know who wrote his scripts.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they had everything.
Yeah. He does all the exclamations. He knows what he wants to say. I mean, he's been at this for,
60 years.
But he's been in there. He's been.
Since he was 29.
That's right. He was 29 years old. And he's been in there longer than most of those people are old.
That's yes. Right. As the, what's her name? Flip, or whatever, the one who did the answer to the State of the Union. Nice looking girl. Was that a Brit? What's her name?
Oh.
That did the response for the Republicans, Senator?
The little 40-year-old, that the first woman,
right,
and the youngest
right.
one.
He said that he's been in politics longer than I'm old.
That means he has just that much more experience. Get out the way. That's like a student trying to tell the teacher what to do. Come on.
Okay.
It's just that his health. You know, they did not expect him to be the way that he was. And
he's strong.
Yeah. It's turning the corner. And they did a wonderful job with making him understand. Because, he's a sensitive man. And so he could have very well came out there and felt, and so these people don't feel that I'm worthy or whatever. But he didn't. He said, what, are you kidding? The state of my nation, the way it is, I would never leave it like this. Remember, he told his son on his deathbed, asked him, he said, Dad, please save our nation. Please run for president.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. That's what he told him. And so that's what he's doing. It's divine. So we got to get out the vote, guys. What are you doing down there, up there in North Carolina, Mike?
Well, trying to... rest my knees.
Oh.
Yeah, that's me too, Mike. That's my knees too from the military. I got some bad knees.
I didn't get mine in the military. When I was in there, my knees were fine. I had to go up down ladders in jet aircraft, but it happened about 3 years ago. They started going out. I had to get both knees replaced.
You were in the military?
Oh, yeah, Air Force. Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad was in the Air Force.
I was in the Army. My brother was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother-in-law was in the Marines.
No, he's in the Navy, too.
Yeah, the Navy.
Talking about Lee? Yeah, Lee was in the Navy. Submarine Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we need to take this victory lap and be inspired by this man. Nobody under the age of 80 can tell me anything now. Because if he can do what he did, you can go out and get people to vote. You can register people. You can sit at the polls. And you don't have no excuse.
There is none. Mike asked me, what do I plan on doing? And
yeah, he did ask.
Well, of course, I plan on doing a lot of praying. Biden needs to have everybody mobilized.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got to be mobilized, because not only do we need to win the presidency, but we need to win those seats. They are so important.
So important.
Yeah, we need to win those seats.
Hey, Lee, you want me to look that over?
Yep, we've got to win those seats.
Mm-hmm.
So we can replace those judges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Thomas might be ready to go, and so is the other guy. What's his name?
Because we got the majority, even if Kamala Harris has to break the tie. We got that.
Yeah.
Where? Not judges.
No. I'm talking about, if any bills come up,
yeah.
If it happens to be a 50-50 tie, she can break it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we've seen her do a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. She goes in there and does her thing, keeps walking.
So we need to get people mobilized and get people to understand how critical, I mean, really critical,
mm-hmm.
This year.
Yeah. So who's leaving the Supreme Court? You said Thomas needs to go.
No. In the next 2 years, it might behoove him to leave. And the other guy is
Alito?
Is it Alito? Alito, yeah. Alito.
Oh, okay. It's a man.
Alito and
all right.
are most likely the ones that are going to be leaving in the next 2 years.
So John Roberts, Justice, he's not going anywhere.
He's younger than both of them.
Yeah. So we need to get him in so he can get the justices that are necessary. And he said it last night. That was another thing. I thought that was real bold. He's going to reverse this Roe v. Wade situation.
Yeah, well, that's why. But he can only do that unless we win and get the both houses.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Gorsuch should have never been seated. He should have never been seated. And neither should that woman that has that child from Africa, and she looks like she's scared. She looks like she's crying out for help.
Went on the one of the appeals court. I mean,
no,
one of the justices.
Court. Yeah, the last one that Trump appointed with the blonde hair, the one that lied and said that she wouldn't reverse Roe, and then she got on there and
Barrett.
Yeah.
Barrett.
Tony Barrett?
Yeah, Barrett, right.
You talking about the black girl Barrett?
No.
Your blonde hair.
Yeah,
okay. Because I don't know, I'm kind of confused about Barrett.
Yeah, she lied and said that she was not going to reverse Roe.
Yeah.
It's part of the landscape. It's part of our Constitution. It's our law. She lied in front of the interview when she was interviewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amy Coney Barrett. Mm-hmm. So she
lied. And then did it anyway.
And then
It would be different if they did it anyway and she voted in dissent, but she didn't. She voted for it.
Yeah.
So, kind of sick. Kind of sick.
What do you think? Money did it?
No, she lied.
Yes, she did. Bold face, but doesn't doesn't the predecessor do that? She lies all the time.
Just straight out lies.
It's not the fact that matters. It's what you can have people believe. That's why I call him a carnival barker. He's a con man. And those who are from New York knew that. That's why 98% of the people in New York did not vote for him. And the brothers said they're looking for the other 2%. How dare them. Everybody knew what he was.
Yeah.
He's the one who were playing around in Central Park and they got picked up for raping that girl and they just got out of jail. Their whole life. He's the one that put a full page ad in the Times. That's expensive. And said they need to go to jail. They need to be locked up like animals, like the animals they are. That was it.
I thought he said they need to get the electric chair or something.
Yes, he did. He said that too. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. It was terrible.
And they were innocent.
Of course.
And they spent all those years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Could you imagine sitting in a penitentiary for all those years knowing
that you didn't do it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a psychological, I should say the word.
And your family.
Yeah.
Your family believed
it. It's devastated. Yeah, family believed it, and they knew. These were just kids in the park there. It's nighttime. You go, we used to do that, go to Central Park and hang out, sit on the rocks and listen to music. People had guitars, and sometimes there'd be a symphony somewhere. Just do it in the park.
I never did that.
Oh, you never did?
No, I never did that.
Yeah, well, it might not have been good for you to do it.
No, we did that.
So, Mr. Lawson, when are you moving to YouTube?
I am trying. I'm debating. I get so in trouble with this YouTube with this Windows 11 now. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to see if I can get some people to help me with the YouTube. See what the big deal is with it. Because this is a mother. This YouTube is horrible. It scrambled all my. Well, first of all, when I had to get a new computer because my other computer was to go to YouTube didn't have enough memory on it. So I got this new one, and then after I got that, something else happened to that computer. So I had to get another computer, but now it's to the point where it lost all my programs that I didn't save. So I lost half my program. I don't know why I didn't save them. So half those programs are gone. I got re-put them back on my desktop. And then I have to go about seeing how I get my voice and record on the Windows 11 and then how to...
Yeah.
There's so much stuff out there. It's just so different from Windows 10. Very different.
Listen, all you need is a 15-year-old. Buy a pizza and you'll be fine. That's all you need. But get a 15-year-old, buy him a pizza, him or her a pizza.
Yeah, right. Well, I have my grandson there who's 15. He uses a Mac.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Lee uses the Mac. He likes the Mac.
And I've always used this. I never used a Mac.
A knife?
A Mac.
A Mac. Yeah. McIntosh.
I always use the other computer, so it's just been a major headache. It's been a major headache with all my programs, and they use them with Windows. It's probably a lot easier, but hey, after all these years using this, I just don't know if I go from a PC to Windows. I mean, a PC to a Mac. I just, it is so, but this is even different from the Windows 11 is even different from the Windows 10. So, and I mean so much so. So, I was supposed to have another the show here, but the basketball players didn't show up. So I guess I'll have to have them on next week.
Diane, I have a call coming in.
All right. Well,
sir, Mike, it's a pleasure. And let's have another call soon.
Next Friday I'm on.
Okay, sounds good.
Give Diane your email address so I can send you a text, an email.
Okay, I got it.
You got it? Okay, good.
Yeah, his email, I got it. All right, so we had a victory, or the country had a victory because they got a stable president as opposed to the instability that this other person will bring to the office. I think Michael, who were rich, made a lot of money during his tenure because nobody was watching the store. And, you know, that's the way it was. You know, we're talking record. Yeah, record profit. Record profit. Anytime you can make profits in the billions, that doesn't say that's how much you made. That's how much you made over.
And it says that breaking news, Trump officially takes over the Republican National Committee. He's now installed his daughter-in-law? She's now the co-chair. Can you believe that? Laura Trump. Laura's daughter-in-law. Suggests GOP voters would support the RNC. To give him all the help that Mr. Trump needs. And that can only be concerned with money. So he wants the RNC to pay for all his daggone money that he owes the different people. But the problem is that they don't have no $500 million. So forget that. But can you imagine that taking over the RNC? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's see who this is right here. We got somebody who's calling in. Hello, who's this? 3431.
This is James Jackson.
Oh, James Jackson. Okay. Mr. James Jackson. Oh,
I've been on the phone here listening to you all for the last half an hour. I couldn't get in.
Why couldn't you get in?
I don't know the answers to these kinds of questions. No one acknowledged that I was on the line or anything like that. I've been listening to you. I've been listening to you for the last.
Did you hang up and dial back in again?
I'm sorry.
Did you hang up and dial back in again?
No, I
you
don't.
Believe I haven't seen you.
I don't know what technical difficulties my call represented. I can't get into that. I don't know. You can't ask me. I called and I can hear. Let me finish for a minute, Michael, please.
Huh? Go ahead.
I called, and I could hear you all. There was two or three people on the line. You were talking about the politics and right. Trump and everything. I could hear you, but no one could hear me.
Oh.
Trying to introduce myself to the people who are on the phone. I don't know what technical difficulties this thing represents for you. I heard you talking about the problems that you've been having with the software, et cetera.
Yeah.
But that had nothing to do with me and my, making my call because I could hear you.
Okay.
And I could hear all your guests. I could hear all your guests. I don't know their names, but I could hear all your guests.
All right. Very good. Okay.
All right.
Well,
so now, you know, you can't ask me what
the... I don't know what it is. I'm going to have to speak to Blog Talk Radio. I'll speak to them tomorrow. No, they're probably not in tomorrow, but on Monday, and see what I could work out.
Well, let me say one thing to you, and then I'm going to let this go, let you speak to your people and see what they can do for you. But, well, I want to say two things in terms of what you're trying to do. Apple is a user-friendly system. That Macintosh is user-friendly. It will interface with almost everything that's out in the market right now, including you're trying to get on YouTube. The platforms that you're talking about are incompatible. That's why then you're having such difficulty dealing with trying to get your Dell or your HP or whatever it is trying to operate. So when you were talking about Blake having, he uses Apple, Apple will create the interfaces all by itself to make sure that you can get into these other things. It will attach itself to the platform you're trying to work, whereas these other programs won't allow you to do that because it's not in the system of the actual computer that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm suggesting to you that when you talk to these people, you want to talk about the platforms that are involved in you trying to interface with YouTube using the computer that you have, 10 and 11 and all that is concerned. All of those things, as everyone knows, when they go from 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, they're all supposed to be improving on the program. But what they also do is drop off those interfaces that allow you to go into other platforms automatically. It eliminates those to make space for the new improvement that they talk about.
Right.
The last thing I'm going to say to you is that, and gee, I forgot my chain of thought here that fast. But it'll come back to me, I'm sure it will, and I'll call you up if I think about it again. But you may want to consider discussing to people about how you can do a different – oh, I know what I was going to say. The bridge between these computers and these softwares that we're talking about is Microsoft number 7. That was the very first one they came out that had – the platforms being recognized by any computer, and then that software number 7 would interface with all of those softwares to make them work on your computer, 10 or 11 now. So understand what I'm saying. The software 7 was the major software that allowed the interfacing that we're talking about you're trying to get now with 11. It did all of that, 7. But you probably don't have any idea or never had 7 on your computer. I have HP, but I have 7 on my computer because I knew to put it on there. And it will make the interfaces between these things because I have that software on the computer. See, it makes those interfaces. I can play YouTube. I can do any of those kinds of things on my computer. Right now my computer is acting a little crazy because I neglected to put some software into it and I've got to get it restarted again. But it's a Dell. It was a Dell. But I had the Microsoft number 7 on that computer and it did everything. I could go into anything that I wanted to almost automatically. But now that everybody's past that, seven is probably in the dust with most people. But those who work with computers all the time know to keep that in the background on their computer just in case they run across the kind of problem that you're having dealing with all this interfacing on these different platforms that you're trying to do. See? Seven would do all of that automatically. You would have to do a little adjusting, but it was very little adjusting with it because it would tell you what to do. Do this, do that, and by the time you're in the third step, you got everything interfaced and everything loaded and everything's right. So when you talk to your people, I'm not asking you to tell them nothing about this number seven. That's not what I'm asking you, but you want to ask them to see if they can interface with software that you have on that computer with the interfacing that's required to get onto YouTube to have audio and video to work and record, if that's where you're going to. You might want to record your program. Entirely yeah. Another animal of another color. If you're trying to record it too, you're going to ask them how to make that platform work. Otherwise, it will not work.
Okay,
just a suggestion. I don't know anything about this kind of stuff. I'm just a layman.
Well,
that's all I am.
No, you don't, because seven ain't gonna work with nothing we have out now. Seven doesn't even use it.
Yes,
no more.
It will. See, there we go. There you go. See, that's why I don't tell people about these kinds of things.
See, it won't work with nothing we have out now.
That's just why I do not mention these kind of changes to people, because there's people like you. You don't know anything about what I'm talking about, who say it doesn't work, and you don't know that it doesn't.
I do know it. Okay, I had to go from 7 to 9.
I will withhold advising you further. I will withhold my suggestions from you further. Okay?
All right,
okay. Now, having said that, the thing I wanted to mention was who is this guy, Mark Robinson or Mark somebody, that's running for the governor in North Carolina?
He's a loudmouth nobody.
And that's supposed to explain.
Off the air, but he's a loudmouth nobody who couldn't get elected dog catcher if he was the only guy in town that had a net.
So where is he from? Who is he? What school did he go to? Where did he come from?
Where's he? As my grandfather used to say, where's he 10 bar at? He won't be 10 no bar after November. There, we'll talk about him next week, but he's a nobody.
Oh, okay.
All right, Dan, I want to thank everybody for coming by.
Hi, Mike.
This is Lee. I know Lee.
I'm doing pretty good. I'll get on the next time and talk about the idiot that's running. You know, why do these black guys do that? It's
because they got nothing else to do. They want to be known.
I just wanted to say hello. I was listening in the background. I've got a couple of things going on my own.
Okay.
But
10 seconds.
Say hi.
I can talk longer because they'll keep us on. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Lee.
I'll catch you on the next show, and hopefully I'm in transition in a number of ways, but I'll be able to get on and contribute a little more. But anyway,
okay. Take
care. We'll be in touch.
Yes, everybody.
All right,
Superman,
I'll talk to you
Michael,
next week.
I'll call you later.
Yes, sir. Diane, I'll talk to you.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Everybody, goodbye. Hope we get this stuff straightened out by next week. All right.
Well,
this is The Last Word with Michael Lawson signing off. Is that a guy? Stupid. He came on that. He said, you have to go back to Windows 7. Because he said, Windows 7 will operate with everything.
He said that?
Yeah.
Are you
serious? He don't know about no computers. He tried to tell me, he said, Mike, you just don't know. I said, come on, I've been in computers 35 years.
Yeah. Was I in one?
Yes.
Thank you.
Daytime too. They'll be in the week for up to 12 hours. Now, ADT professionally installs Google Test Projects. All set. So your home is safe and smart. You can check in on your home. Manage your system virtually anywhere. And get intelligence alerts like when a package has arrived. Now, the most trusted name in home security has the intelligence of Google. You have a home with no worries. Brought to you by ADT.
We're building a better postal service. All parts working in sync to move your business forward. For more value, more reliability, and more on-time delivery. The United States Postal Service. Built for how you business.
Beautiful and healthy looking eyes? It shouldn't be a compromise. Beautify Eye Illumination. Three non-irritating products developed by the experts at Bausch & Lomb. Exclusively for the sensitive eye area. To cleanse, nourish, and brighten. Clinically proven and formulated with clean ingredients and our unique Eyebright Botanical Complex. Lumify Eye Illumination. Discover the science of eye disease only in the Archer Eye. Get it. Love your bike. Me too. That's why we're in our snowboard motorcycle insurance. Do you have the wedges and everything?
Look, don't do that. It's reminds me of a bike. Woof, I'm sorry, but I'm not before the snack. Have you seen the woman?
Happy birthday,
Grandma! Really?
What kind of restaurant is called the Line of Gas?
Hey!
From
the plus one.
Hey! Have you ever considered getting a walk-in tub? Well, look no further. Proudly made in Tennessee, a safe step walk-in tub is the best in its class. The ultra-low, easy steps help keep you safe from having to climb over those high wall tubs, allowing you to age gracefully in the home you love. And now, backed by popular demand, for a limited time, when you purchase your brand new safe step walk-in tub, you'll receive a free shower package. Yes, a free shower package. And if you call today, you will also receive $1,600 off. Now, you can enjoy the best of both worlds. The therapeutic benefits of a warm, soothing bath that can help increase mobility, relieve pain, boost energy, and even improve sleep. Or, if you prefer, you can take a refreshing shower all in one product.
Call 1-800-333-1070.
Of course, outlandish Jack Smith has come out playing against a number of Donald Trump's recent motions to dismiss the classified documents case entirely. One of the ex-presidents' attempts is to claim immunity in this case. Ms. King says that is, quote, so wholly without merit that it is difficult to understand it except as part of a strategic effort for delay. She argues that Trump's immunity argument is even more far-fetched than in the federal election interference case, since his mishandling of classified material happened after he left office. Prosecutors also dismantled the ex-president's argument that the hundreds of documents he wrongfully retained were personal records. They were in this book. Trump did not create them. They do not reflect his personal thoughts. They came into his possession only through his official duties, and except for one charged document, their classification marking. They have no resemblance to diaries. That was in reference to the ex-president comparing his actions to President Reagan retaining his diaries and leaving office. Shortly after Jack Smith's team submitted their filing, the judge overseeing the case, Eileen Cannon, scheduled a hearing for next Thursday. We'll be watching. Joining our conversation, former U.S. Attorney, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General Harry Levin is here, and former Acting Assistant Attorney General for National Security at the Justice Department, and MSNBC legal analyst Mary McCord is here. Rick is still with me at the table. Mary, let me ask you, Jack Smith's paper tells us most of what the non-lawyer, non-DOJ person knows about him. And from Jack Smith's paper and filing, he seems to be calling BS on all of Trump's moves and arguments. Is that a fair read?
I think in legal terms, that's what he's doing. He's just using different words, right? Just different verbiage. It had to be said. I mean, some of these motions, the motion to dismiss based on presidential immunity is based on an argument that Mr. Trump, while he was president, designated all of these classified documents as personal, and therefore that was within the scope of his official acts that he should have immunity for. So you don't even have to get to the question, says Jack Smith, of whether a president, a former president, is ever immune from criminal prosecution for official acts, because it's ludicrous to think that what he's charged with here was part of his official acts. He's charged with retaining classified information, not classified information, national defense information, which was classified information falls within, retaining that when he was unauthorized to have it after he was president and refusing to return it. He's also, of course, charged with obstruction of justice and things like that. So this notion that he did anything relevant to this case while he was president, that's what Jack Smith is calling BS on. He's saying that is so frivolous that if this court denies the motion, as it should not pause things and allow the former president to appeal. Remember in the Jack Smith case in D.C., the January 6th related case, when Judge Chutkan denied his motion for presidential immunity, she paused the entire case in order for it to appeal. Jack Smith says here, because this would be so frivolous and appeal would be so frivolous, you don't have to pause the case. So he's going all in on that. And he makes several arguments on the motion to dismiss on the grounds, again, that the Presidential Records Act, under that act, the president designated things personal, and therefore he can't be charged with having personal documents. And as Jack Smith, through his lawyer, says, I think quite persuasively, these are classified documents that were prepared for your duty while you were president in exercising your constitutional and statutory duties. They are not personal. They could not be personal. And criminal statutes that apply to the mishandling of national defense information are utterly ineffective and unrelated to a civil regime that ensures that the archivist can keep presidential records for historical purposes.
Harry, let me read you a little bit more from this calling BS, which is what I'll shorthand it around here. Under Trump's view, a president could direct the special forces to murder his principal political opponent. He could accept a bribe in exchange for steering a lucrative government contract to the bribe payer, and he could sell classified information to an adversary. And as long as he was not impeached by the House and convicted by the Senate, he could act with impunity. I mean, all that talk of autocracy is so close to the surface in my brain, but the work that he did in pushing and straining and pressing and perverting the rule of law seems to be the farthest he got. And it seems that almost everything about whether we remain a nation of laws is at stake in the Supreme Court hearing any immunity claim from Donald Trump.
That's a total fact, but Smith is even taking it a step further. As you say, he's come out swinging, and the gloves are off. He's begun to use the D word. Delay is so frivolous that it could only be a transparent effort to try to delay. We've got the motion that Mary just summarized, and remember, I just want to put a marker in there about the possibility that she denied the motion, but authorized an interlocutory appeal. And we have that whole trip up and down. He's brought 12 motions as of now, but they've asked for hearings in 10 of them. And she has granted today, for next week, hearing on two of them, the one that Mary just summarized, and also a vagueness claim in which he says, because he has maybe this other kind of security clearance, he can't even understand what the charges are. And for both, Smith very aptly says, the whole premise of his motion really don't matter at all legally. Even if it were right, he'd have no right to vote beside. Even if it were right about immunity, they took these actions afterwards. So most other judges would read these and deny them on the papers. Who knows why these two have caught her eye. She's now going to have a hearing. They may push forward for an evidentiary hearing. As always, there are two simultaneous games going on with Trump, especially in Mar-a-Lago, the game to win dubious rulings. Here they are more than dubious, they're frivolous, and the game to get delay. And every hearing, every evidentiary hearing in Brazil, particular is just one more kicking the can down the road.
I understand why Trump does this, because delaying has worked. It's worked in every attempt to, you know, he's sort of Houdini, every effort doesn't take out of like it's out of it. I don't understand why any judge appointed by any president of any party allows this. It makes a mockery.
Well, I would ask Mary and Harry about this thing, because obviously, ever since he's ever been on trial for anything, his whole motive is delay it.
Correct.
Use the process to make sure that it's delayed so justice is denied.
Correct.
So I think to outside observers who are not lawyers, it does look like he's using that trial successfully. And it seems like there's a problem with the legal system that it can be manipulated like that, particularly frivolous
claims.
I'd love to hear if there's some kind of legal response to that,
to
just kind of dismiss it outright.
Mary. Yeah, so I think this does expose, like, normally I think the procedures and the rules are just designed to make sure that people charged with crimes get due process, right? They have ample ample opportunity to prepare for trial. They have ample access to the evidence that will be used against them, time to amass their own evidence, ample time to file motions, legal motions. In the case of immunity, which is very similar to sort of double jeopardy, the idea is you shouldn't be forced to sit through a trial at all, and that's usually to protect a defendant, and that's why you can take an appeal and stay the whole trial when you take an appeal. So these things are steeped in sort of the need under our system, our constitutional system, to ensure that the criminal defendants have fair trials, have due process, etc. But I think what this has exposed is that particularly when someone like Mr. Trump can afford, or his PACs can afford to pay for armies of lawyers, they can really manipulate these systems, kind of like people would say that some people manipulate our tax code, right, to their benefit and to delay. And unless you have judges that are really willing to put a stop to it, things like expediting the way that the D.C. Circuit expedited its appeal and ruled quickly, those are the only real ways to combat that. And we've seen with the Supreme Court taking almost 2 weeks to even decide if it was going to take the immunity case, and having passed over the opportunity to having been able to have been taken it earlier in December, straight from the district court, leapfrogging the D.C. Circuit, the Supreme Court has injected even more delay. And even though they expedited somewhat, they didn't expedite anywhere nearly as fast as they expedited the 14th Amendment Section 3 disqualification case. So if you're going to avoid that delay, you've got to have judges that are willing to just prevent it and to set schedules that ensure fairness to the defendant, but also fairness to the public, because here there's an important public interest.
Harry, I want to read a little bit more from the document filing. This is about Trump's knowledge that what he was doing was wrong/illegal. Trump has provided additional evidence of his knowing the possession of the documents and willful retention, publicly claiming that he took the documents with him, quote, openly and transparently, and that he was, quote, right to do so because he made sure to, quote, keep secure documents in a secure way. If he persists in his declassification claims, that too would provide additional evidence that he knowingly possessed the documents. Again, we've all probably dangerously become experts in intent, and it seems that this goes a long way toward illustrating that they have plenty of evidence that Trump intended to do what he's accused of doing.
And there's a lot more where that came from. Remember the conversation where he says, oh, I couldn't do that now, and I, you know, he knows the difference, and it's just passive in the law. Even his claim that he could have done it then recognizes that the charges, this is Smith's big point, the charge has nothing to do with whether he somehow magically tried to make them personable. It's whether, as Mary says, he possesses national defense information after the time, and by the way, instructs a lawyer to lie and all those things. And look, Mary's right that the wheels of justice grind slowly in this way, but every day district courts turn down. Of course, you let the defendant make the motion, but you turn it down on the papers, especially in this pretrial period, where people generally, and Trump is the paramount example, where herself against the wall to see what sticks. All the time you turn these down on the papers, when, as here, it wouldn't matter even if what they said were accurate. So she is being indulgent in a way that many, not just a few, but many, if not most, district court judges would not be.
I have one more question for you, but let me just ask, is President Biden about to be in his remarks? Okay.
I don't know.
Are we ready to go to that? Or can I ask you to say a little more? Okay, so I got permission to ask you one last question. I cannot separate this conversation from our conversation about autocracy and Masha writing that institutions don't work.
And autocrats make the courts work for them. They put their own judges. They have people who make the decision they want.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to the president.
I'm Joe Biden. I'm Joe Biden's husband. Thanks to elected officials here today, including someone I keep telling them I think we're related. Our families come from the same county in Ireland. Representatives can't worship. You're doing a hell of a job representing this business. If you're tired, you probably watched my press last night. A warm reception from Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene. In my address, I spoke about how far we've come as we took office. I talked about how much is at stake. Folks, our freedoms really are in the ballot this November. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans are trying to take away our freedoms. That's not an exaggeration. Well, guess what? We will not let him. We will not let him. The U.S. Capitol, the same building where our freedoms came under assault on July the 6th, yesterday, January the 6th, we talked about another Alabama. 14 months ago, she and her husband welcomed a baby girl thanks to another Alabama, thanks to America with IVF. She scheduled treatments to have a second child. The Alabama Supreme Court shut down IVF treatments across the state. Unleashed by U.S. Supreme Court decision overturned Roe v. Wade. She was told her dream would have to wait. But her family had gone through.
Is this live? Not yet.
Folks.
Hi, I'm Joe Biden. I'm Joe Biden.
I'll tell you why. One reason is Donald Trump. He came over determined to overturn Roe v. Wade. In fact, he's bragged about
it. Hi, I'm Joe Biden. I'm Joe Biden.
He got his wish. And states are passing bans.
Hi, I'm Joe Biden. Joe Biden.
I promise you, we take back Congress we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land. It's time to get us through one of the toughest periods in our nation's history. We have. I inherited an economy that was on the brink, excuse me. Now our economy is the envy of the world. 15 million new jobs in just 3 years, that's a record in American history. Unemployment is a 50-year low. 800,000 new manufacturing jobs in county. As I said when I started, words are written that we can't be the manufacturing capital of the world again. Wages are up and inflation is coming down. Inflation has dropped from 9% to 3%. We made so much progress, so now let's talk about the future we can build because we have more to do. Look, the future or the days of trickle-down economics are over. And the wealthy, the biggest corporations begin to pay their fair share, God bless you. Cartels will not compel us for prescription drugs than anywhere else in the world. It's wrong. And I've been fighting the pharmaceutical industry since I was in the Senate for over 30 years. Guess what? We're ending it. In the law I proposed and signed, no one, not one Republican voted for it, but we finally beat Big Pharma. Instead of paying $400 a month, for example, on insulin for seniors, they only have to pay $35. And by the way, it only costs $10 to make. They're still paying. They're still getting a big profit. But look, I'm not stopping there. Let's cap the cost of insulin at $35 a month for every American who needs it, not just me. I finally beat Big Pharma. And now we're giving Medicare the power to negotiate lower prices for prescription drugs, just like the VA does for our military. This doesn't just save seniors money. Saving taxpayers billions of dollars, cutting the deficit. Now it's time to give Medicare the power to negotiate lower prices for even more drugs. Now it's going to save taxpayers another $200 billion. It's already saved $160 billion off your taxes because the Medicare doesn't have to pay that bill. Folks, starting next year, the bill I got passed, we're capping the total prescription drug costs for seniors on Medicare at $2,000 a year, even for expensive cancer drugs that cost $10, $12, $14, $15,000 a year. And our goal next year, let's do that for all America. All America. Let's cap prescription drug costs at $2,000 a year for everyone.
Okay, Joe.
It's still a very big deal. because it's a budget deal that will cut another $1 trillion over the next decade.
Yeah.
They kept trying to get out, but they finally agreed. Now, it's my goal to cut the federal deficit by $3 trillion more. By making big corporations very wealthy, and I'm a capitalist, by the way, you can go make $1 million, make a good, good for you. But pay your taxes. $1 trillion And I mean it sincerely. I believe in my whole career. Finally got it done. If we focus on the middle class, first of all, they're the heart, soul, and sinew of the country. If you focus on them and give them even chance, the poor have a way up, and the wealthy still do very, very well. Still do very well. As I said, I'm a capitalist. The capitalism, when it turns gains in non-competition,
not
ends up being just stealing.
Less. Before
you came. I know you're thinking that I couldn't have been around very long. When you get to my age, certain things become clear. Never before. I know the American story. I've seen it again and again in contests between competing forces, the battles for the soul of this nation. Some of you may remember when I ran in 2020, I got criticized by the press for saying I was running for three reasons. One, to restore the soul of America. Two, to build a middle class, which